This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to CNC Radio Factory into hour number two here on 106.7 The Fan. It's Chad Dukes. It's Cakes. We are your co-radio Sherpas, taking you up until noon today here on The Fan.
Nooner.
The Nooner. From Pat Faris. Nobody gets that. It's a radio insider joke.
The 90s Nooner.
Yes. We're happy to be joined now by Jordan DeJani, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Hello, Jordan. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. Even if you got my name wrong the first time, I'm sorry, Chad Dukes, that I haven't made the kind of impact on your life that you've made on mine, but I will try to change that today.
It's not that. It's just that it's a weekend show, and then I had one producer booking, and then I asked for you to be on the show, Jordan. I think you do a great job. It's just I had one producer doing one thing, another producer doing another thing. Cakes booked a guest, and we had to move it all around. It's nothing personal. I hope you don't take it personally.
Okay. I appreciate the explanation.
No problem.
Jordan, I'm on your Twitter, at Jordan DeJani, and I know you're an NBA mark because you have a bowl picture about seven or eight tweets down. So I'm going to give you some life advice right now, and I gave it to the audience 10 or 15 minutes ago. Bet all the NBA overs you can before Vegas adjusts the lines because nobody's playing defense in the bubble. The overs are easy. They're easy pickings for bettors, so get in on it while you can. Bet your NBA
overs. I absolutely will. I appreciate that. Yeah, I saw the Rockets Mavericks game. They hit the over by halftime, basically. No one's playing defense there in the bubble. Yeah, so I appreciate the advice. Definitely making your listeners some money today.
Yeah, well, if it blows up in your face, I don't want to be blamed. I'm just giving you some sound life advice. That's all.
All of the credit, none of the scoring. That
correct,
is Johnny
yes. That's my mantra.
Jordan, I was taking a look at your piece, Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky. I mean, on paper, you look at that and you say, my God, what a hodgepodge. I'd rather, you know, limping Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins sounds like Steve Young and Joe Montana compared to that. The likelihood that the Mitchell Trubisky experiment is over, I assume, is through the roof. Is this going to be an open competition? Like, what is the nature of how they're going to assess who's under center for the Bears this year?
Yeah, it's very interesting because, yes, it's going to be an open competition. And, I mean, Matt Nagy even came out and said that if one of our quarterbacks is playing, quote, like crap, we're going to tell him right in front of the team and training camp and everything because we don't have a preseason to go through this entire process. And he even said, whoever we pick as the starter, we're not going to be necessarily glued to him throughout the regular season. We're going to make a change under center even in the regular season if we feel like we have to. So, yes, a totally open competition. I wrote that article yesterday because I thought it was very interesting. I thought Mitch Trubisky's quotes were a lot sexier than Nick Foles. I mean, Mitch Trubisky seems like somebody who's incredibly motivated to come in every single day, prove that he's truly the future of the franchise under center, that yesterday or last year was a fluke, And Nick Foles was kind of more professional about it, saying that he's going to take every day, one day at a time, focus on getting the little things correctly. So it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing shakes out. I know that Chicago fans are ready for the Mitch Trubisky experiment to be over, but I'm not 100% sure that it's exactly going to happen in 2020.
Jordan, it's pretty remarkable to me that – I'm sorry, Chad – that that Allen Robinson, the top target there in Chicago, can be as productive as he has been with the bad quarterback he's had in the 2 years. Does he have frustration at the fact that he's got guys like Trubisky and Foles throwing him the ball, or is he just a guy that, you know, wants to put up his numbers and try to get to that next contract and, you know, just plays through it?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up his name, because I truly think he's one of the more underrated weapons in the NFL, because his entire career, it seems like he's been playing with subpar QB play, even back in Jacksonville, and he's been able to put up some good numbers. So, yeah, I'm sure there's definitely some frustration going through his head right now. I think that he likes being in Chicago, but he obviously wishes the quarterback situation was a little better, more beneficial toward his skill set. So maybe he's hoping that Nick Foles is kind of the savior that Jacksonville was hoping he would be last year. He would come in, be the starter for a few more years, have some more consistent quarterback play, really show glimpses of that Super Bowl MVP that we saw with the Philadelphia Eagles a few years ago. So I can't speak on Allen Robinson's situation. I know he's a very talented guy, but if I was him, I'd definitely be looking to go somewhere with more consistent quarterback play.
So there, I got a two-parter for you on that. I mean to step on you, Cakes, but I wanted to dovetail on that first part with the Bears. They have never gotten quarterback right, which is just unbelievable when you look at the Jim Millers and the Cade McNowns and the Cordell Stewarts, and you go through all of the guys that have played quarterback there. And then Foles, the fact that he's got a statue, man. Like, he's a Super Bowl MVP, and then every other time he's gone anywhere else, it hasn't worked. I would love to just, it's, you know, it's a two-part question, but the Bears still being where they are at the quarterback position after we all know the guys they passed on to draft the quarterback and Mitchell Trubisky that they have now. And then Foles, how are we going to look when his career is over and try to, you know, put him in history, because nobody's ever had a career like he's had. It's a very interesting combination up there.
Yeah, with Nick Foles, I mean, his entire eight-year career, I think it is, has been a giant quarterback competition. I mean, he's had to battle to either be the starter or to be the backup on the four or five teams he's basically been on. So, to be honest with you, to answer your question, how will we view him when his career's over? It's still TBD, because people obviously think he has some potential to be a legitimate starter in Chicago, come in and win that competition, take Chicago to that same level of success. Maybe not necessarily win a Super Bowl, but at least make them more of a competitor in the NFC North. So I still think it's very TBD. But if he continues to struggle like he did in Jacksonville, get kicked out after signing a huge contract and traded away after just 1 year of playing because a rookie played better than him, then he's going to be one of the most interesting characters in NFL history, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
We're joined by Jordan DeJohnny from CBS Sports. You know, maybe I'm an idiot for thinking this, and I'm kind of a Matthew Stafford mark, especially coming off what he did in the first eight games last season before he was sidelined with an injury. Threw 19 touchdowns, just five picks, went for almost 2,500 passing yards in those eight games. He really had a nice connection with Marvin Jones Jr. and Kenny Galladay. Can he rebound physically from that injury this year and put up those sorts of numbers in 2020?
I'm hoping so. And it's funny you bring up the Lions, because they were one of my favorite teams to watch at the beginning of the year last year. I mean, they should have won that game against the Packers in prime time with those bogus penalties. Stafford had a great connection with his wideouts. I think that Galladay and Jones finished with like 9 or 10 touchdowns on the year, and only like five players had double-digit touchdowns last year. Absolutely incredible. And then his tight end obviously got hurt. They had that great game against the Kansas City Chiefs too, where they should have won that game in Detroit against Patrick Mahomes, but he led a game-winning drive. Then of course injuries took their toll. So the answer is I'm hoping that Matthew Stafford can rebound physically, because quietly he's been one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he's been a little underrated. He's got some good weapons. The defensive side of the ball has struggled. The entire team overall has struggled with injury. And also, the jury's still out on Matt Patricia. So I think a lot of people are out on Matthew Stafford entering 2020. But I definitely am hoping that he can rebound, because that team had potential last year in that division before injuries really took their toll. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Jordan, is the story, the LeSean McCoy is a name, everybody recognizes him, everybody knows what's going on in Tampa, but, you know, it's a one-year deal. I'm sure he is excited to play with Gronk and play with TB and all those guys in that offense, but, you know, I was surprised people were making such a big deal about this signing, you know, late last week. And it's, to me, why not? This isn't, you know, Dan Snyder bringing in Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders. And I have no problem with, especially after what's happened here in Washington with Adrian Peterson, bringing in these running backs. People just say, he's 31 years old, get rid of him. Okay, well, a lot of these guys are very highly motivated, and there could be a role on the team. I guess maybe I was missing all the vitriol. And the second part is, do you think there's a hangover from the Redskins doing that for so many years that whenever an aged veteran or a big name goes to a team like this, they just kind of associate it with that disaster?
So I want to preface this by saying I love Shady McCoy. I think he's a legend. But I agree with you. I thought that was a total non-story. I was confused why it got so much attention. I mean, I think he recorded like a career low, 101 carries, 465 yards last year. He was not a major player on the Chiefs offense. I mean, I think he had just like 103 yards after week 8. He only played one snap in the postseason. I don't think this was that sexy of a signing. And I don't know why the social media accounts had to like put him in a Buccaneers uniform next to Tom Brady and post it on Twitter. I didn't understand why it was such a big story. I'm more excited for Keyshawn Vaughn, the rookie out of Vanderbilt, over 3,000 yards, 33 touchdowns in college. I was really excited when they drafted him. To answer your second question, I'm going to say no. I think that obviously there were some risky moves and they were trying to make some splash signings that did not work out. But to classify saying that there's a hangover in D.C. because of that philosophy, you would know better than me, honestly. You're up there. But I think it's just a failure of ownership. I think it's just some bad moves by the GM, by Dan Snyder as well, trying to make those big signings, those stars who are definitely out of their primes.
Right.
I would have rather taken a flyer on Deion Sanders at that time than Shady McCoy right now, I'll tell you that.
I just think, and Cakes, maybe you can speak to this also, when an older player signs someplace and they have a big name, it's immediately met with a flamethrower by, like, the football public.
Right.
And
Everybody hates it.
Right. And I think it's because everyone looks at what a spectacular failure that Redskins team was, and they just kind of associate ring chasing, desperation, blah, blah, blah. I just think that changed the way we discuss moves like this.
Yeah, I think you actually have a point with that. And it's interesting, too, the way it goes with even star players nowadays. Even if you make a good signing such as Landon Collins last offseason, people thought that that was too much of a signing, resetting the safety market, and that his career was over because whatever the stars Washington is trying to sign in free agency, whether they be young or old, it usually doesn't work out. So I'm not sure.
Jordan, you're based in Nashville. Give us the latest on the Titans. You know, they surprised everybody by showing up in the AFC title game last year. Ryan Tannehill, nobody expected him to put up the numbers he did when he became the starter. And Derrick Henry, he does what he always does. Starts slow, and then he gains momentum and builds steam throughout the season and into the playoffs.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's the biggest question the Titans are facing entering this season. Was 2019 a fluke? Is this team really a competitor in the AFC that can battle against the likes of the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs, two teams that they did beat last year, by the way? So, you know, John Robinson, the general manager, recognized the two parts of the engine that made the Titans go, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. He re-signed both of them. So, and they really just retained most of their starters. They only lost a couple of talented pieces, such as Logan Ryan and Jack Conklin at right tackle, and free agency. So this is, by all and large, the same exact team going in. And they have some young talent, such as A.J. Brown. A lot of people compare to Terry McLaurin as well
stud.
There in Washington.
He's a stud.
Yeah,
I absolutely love him. I watched him at Ole Miss, and I fell in love with him and DK Metcalf. But, yeah, for the Titans, it's just going to be interesting to see. If Derrick Henry can start off stronger than he has, if Ryan Tannehill is truly a starter, and if that defense can improve as well. I'm not expecting them to make it back to the AFC Championship. I think that this is probably the Baltimore Ravens here. But if they can be the third strongest team in the AFC, that's a win.
Jordan, if it was up to you, that was a miraculous run, and I'm old enough for the smash mouth football, and I just feel like Derrick Henry's stride is so long. I just felt like he was 3 yards up the field the second the ball's in his hands before anybody knew what was happening. So he's fun to watch, but if it were up to you, and you're the Titans, would you have doubled down and given all that money to Tannehill and Henry, knowing the nature of the NFL currently and how predicated it is on the pass?
You know, this, I'm saying this completely unbiasedly. I think I would have, because first off, with Ryan Tannehill, it's the quarterback position. So, you know, whenever you resign guys like that, it's going to be pretty expensive. And I think, I watched him last year. I watched every single game of his, and he definitely didn't look like the same Ryan Tannehill we've been watching in Miami. So I was okay with that contract. Now, with Derrick Henry's contract, I consider that a win-win. And I published a piece on CBSSports.com about that. I thought the Titans were going to have to reset the running back market, or at least come number two behind Christian McCaffrey of the Carolina Panthers. They didn't have to do that. I think he's number five in terms of average $1 million per year, and he's like number six when it comes to total guaranteed. So I was shocked when I saw those figures come through the wire. I thought it was a steal for the Titans, but almost a steal. I guess that might be exaggerating. But when it comes to Derrick Henry's side of the deal, he finally got that long-term security that running backs are looking for, right? I mean, any top running back can get paid for one or maybe even 2 years on the franchise tag, but they want that long-term security that gives them some good monetary value, that puts them on the roster until they're maybe even 30 years old, like in Derrick Henry's case. So I consider that a win-win. I was shocked that the Titans didn't have to reset the running back market more so than they did. I'm glad they're able to run it back at least in 2020.
Jordan, am I going to fall for this bait of your headline on CBSSports.com from 17 hours ago? Bill O'Brien says Texans wideout Will Fuller, quote, looks as good as he's ever looked. He's always tantalized fantasy football guys like myself and Chad, but then he always has a hamstring or a soft tissue injury that sidelines him and won't let him reach that full potential.
Hey, I work for a nice company. I do not put out clickbait out there. I thought I did a good job with that story.
Hey, no, I clicked on it. I clicked on it, my friend.
Well, I appreciate the few cents. Yeah, I mean, with Will Fuller, it's interesting, because what's interesting about that quote is that Bill O'Brien said, we're ready to have him for 16 full games. Will Fuller's never played 16 games in his NFL career. The best ability in the NFL is availability, is what I wrote. Will Fuller has not had that. Now, he's shown glimpses, right? He's exploded. There was a game, I think in like week four, last year, where he had three touchdowns, like 14 catches. If he's healthy, he's good. So I was kind of making the point, obviously the Texans lost DeAndre Hopkins, but Will Fuller is probably that favorite to step into the role as a new number one wide receiver, Deshaun Watson's top target, but he's going to have to remain healthy if he wants to do so.
Jordan, what do you think of Washington Football Team as a name for a football team?
We talked about this, man. I'm sad. I'm just sad about the change overall. It feels like it's obviously the end of an era. I mean, I have connections to D.C. My grandpa and father are huge R.E.D.S. fans. And am I allowed to say that word on the air? I don't know if it's banned anymore. But my question to you is, like, what's the favorite in the clubhouse? Is there a favorite that's
Chad loves all of the possibilities. So he loves the name so much.
I want him to be named the Kraken. That's what I want him to be named. I gotta say, I hate all the names they're talking about. I would assume it's still Warriors, just because, you know, you're not changing. The W seems to be the logo now. You could keep that if you wanted to. You keep the color scheme, but I don't know. The morons on Twitter are enamored with Red Wolves. And that just sounds like it sounds like my SYC soccer team when I was 8 years old. I'm with you. The reason why I liked, and Cakes doesn't like Washington Football Team, but the reason why I liked it is it wasn't all those other horrible names that were going to cause me to, you know, pick whether or not I wanted to root for the Cardinals or the Buccaneers this year or whatever it would be. So I'm okay with the placeholder for now.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. And honestly, I liked how the uniforms kind of looked too. The uniforms didn't look bad. And, you know, they have the numbers on the helmet, just like all of our Alabama players are used to. So, I don't know, maybe that channels something in them.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It is at Jordan DeJohnny. Follow him on Twitter there. And, of course, as Cakes was referring to, read his material, CBSSports.com. Jordan, thanks for coming on a Saturday morning, buddy. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Have a good show.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks.
He's always good. Always
he's great.
Segment out of that guy. I felt bad. I guess he was listening on the radio.com app and thought I was calling him Cyrus Jacuni, who actually is a listener of the radio show. But no, I was that, just, it was, we were just having a little bit of a runaround with how the show was going to, because you and I are both trying to book guests, and no disrespect to EB, I love EB Cakes, but he never tried to book a guest on the show, so I wasn't expecting that.
No worries. We, you know what? I'm a poor communicator. I've learned that over the years.
Oh, it's fine. Well, at least we don't communicate for a living. At least
that's true. It's a very good point. I just meant more like interpersonal communication. I'm fine once I'm talking into the mic, I think, but like, you know, like coordinating and actually communicating and having a plan, something I can definitely work on.
Got to give some verbal nods out here, Cakes, to Enoch and Joseph and Quicksilver. Whole bunch of people checking in. Brian from Oakton Wine Shop checking in, saying they're enjoying CNC Radio Factory on a Saturday morning.
Very good. And how's this for a tease, Chad? We are going to do an impromptu country music tune listening party, a tune that I like that I'm going to guess you probably don't.
I don't see this on the show sheet. When was this decided?
It's called a curveball. This is sometimes the way radio works, Chad.
All right.
You have curveballs.
I'm going to lean in over the plate for this one, Kate.
So I believe our friend Sean has the tune ready. We'll listen to it when we come back. I love it. You probably hate it.
Oh, God.
We'll see what the audience thinks of it next here on 106.7 The Fan. Chad Dukes from Chad Dukes versus the World. You got Cakes from the Junks. We're taking you up until nooner. I'm looking on Twitter at Chad Dukes, and I see some fancy new deck furniture provided by our friends at Offenbachers. Chad Offenbacher's doing the show with me today.
Hi there. I'm Chad Offenbacher for Offenbachers.
Yeah. You know what? You know what I'm going to give that, Chad?
What's that?
Hold on.
Oh, I think a belly slap is coming.
Hold on.
Here. Sounds like, oh, there it is.
I mean, it's not a landfill belly slap, but
hold on.
It's,
I gotta get some better.
We gotta get nice and red here.
Listen to this.
Can we get Sean to join in?
Sean, he doesn't have much of a belly.
I know, he's skinny. I'm very jealous. I mean, it's so many belly slaps for the Offenbachers.
Wow. Belly slaps are Offenbachers.
It hurts.
It does hurt. I mean, if you go at it the right way, it should hurt.
We did a game on the show once called Landfill Stomach Staccato, where he had to beat out the famous drum riffs. And I believe he was doing one from Metallica, and he beat his stomach so hard that he was popping blood vessels.
Lars Ulrich would have been very proud.
It was very funny. Yeah, Offenbachers, not only do they – they deliver the stuff. They put it together. Oh, it's so nice, kids.
That's
it's
fantastic. So nice. All right, so we're going to do an impromptu country music listening party.
I didn't think you were a country fan.
Well, I'm not. And the reason I bring this up is because I don't get exposed to country that often. And usually I'm not the biggest fan. But a tune that I've heard recently, I like a lot. Now, the problem with that is I think the last country tune that I that caught my ear and this enraged you when I talked about it,
right,
was Cruise by
just the worst.
It made Chad Dukes's head want to explode when I told him that, because it's the worst that country music has to offer.
It's not country music. It's right. It's lame hip-hop for scared white people is what that garbage is. Cakes. I tell you, one of the most depressing moments of my life is I walk out of the Johnny Cash Museum. If you've ever been to the Johnny Cash Museum in Nashville, the last room is devoted to the Hurt by Nine Inch Nails that he did.
Yeah.
And there's the giant throne, and there's you know, all the death stuff. And so you get misty-eyed. So I walk out into the gift shop, and I'm collecting myself, and I look across the street, and there is the biggest Florida Georgia Line bar I have ever seen in my life. And it was so depressing to walk out of the Johnny Cash Museum and see that.
I'm sure that it was depressing. And look, I'm not some big Florida Georgia Line mark. Like, I was kind of into the song. I thought it was catchy. So when I got into this latest song, and I don't even know how old this song is, but my daughter played it, like, in the car. And I was like, that's kind of catchy. But it was clearly country.
Right.
So I think you're not going to like it. That is what I think. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe you do like it, and maybe we share the same brain.
Do I get to know who it is?
Well, I'm going to have Sean play it. He's got it queued up and ready to rock.
So I'm not going to be told what the song is beforehand.
No, but I'm guessing. I mean, I think the song was pretty popular. I could be wrong. I really don't. I don't know the country charts, Chad.
Yeah.
Country Cakes.
Country Cakes
has a very limited range. But you know what? Let's just play it and see where Chad Dukes weighs in.
Let me hear it.
Sunday morning, man, she woke up fighting mad. Bitching and moaning on and on about the time I had. And by Tuesday, you could say that girl was good as gone. And then when Thursday came around, I was all alone. So I went for a drive to clear my mind, ended up at a Shell on I-65.
Come on, Chad. Wait.
You want my review?
Yes. I want your honest to goodness review.
Well, I know the song, first of all.
Yeah.
That's Luke Combs.
It is Luke Combs, yes.
He's a 10. I love Luke Combs.
Oh, look at this.
It's a very good, I mean, first of all, to give it perspective, Cakes.
Yeah.
For a song they play on the radio, it's an 11.
It's very catchy. Yeah. It's like you hear it two or three times. You think you know like 80% of the words.
Yeah.
You can sing along to it. That's a smash hit, Chad. Country Cakes gives out a 15 out of 10.
The reason it's not sampling. It's not vapid lyrics. I mean, the Florida Georgia Line, all that crap that you were talking about.
Right.
It's just a product. Now, this guy writes the songs. He plays his instruments. He's a great singer. I like a lot of his stuff. And he's been recognized. He's won a bunch of awards recently, and it's kind of been refreshing. That he is become as successful as he is because he's not, you know, one of these just hideously overproduced kind of Hollywood pop icons. Here's what they do, Cakes. They take like kind of a corny, good-looking guy that would never have enough credibility to be a rock star, hip hop star. And they add a banjo to the backing.
So they
track.
They turn like a pretty boy into a faux country star.
It just stinks. And then there's Jason Aldean and this whole group of these guys. No, Luke Combs is great. You have great taste. I think that's a very nice song.
Ah, look at this. We're sharing the same brain on country music tunes.
I cannot believe that. That is probably
a shocking heel turn from your boy Cakes.
The biggest upset of the day today. First of all, the fact that you prepped a country song and then it was a good one.
Mind blowing.
All right, now Sean, I've turned about as fair play if we're gonna go impromptu.
Of course, let's do it.
I just DM'd you a song. There's no curses in it, so just get past the advertisement. Cakes, I want you to tell me what you think of this song that I discovered this past week.
All right.
And you know how I'm America's rock judge. I decide if things rock or not.
Do I get the genre, or are we just going in full-on blind here?
I think I don't want to give – if I tell you the genre, I think you'll immediately have some very strong thoughts.
Okay.
So
understood.
Yeah, I'll just wait for Sean to get it booted up, and then I'll kind of take you down the crooked path to find the music like this.
All right.
But if I had to guess, I think you're going to give this 4 cake batters out of 5.
Ooh, that's a pretty high rating. Because usually my default rating is 3.75 cake batters.
All right, turn this up if you don't mind, Sean. And let this kick in for a little bit because it's a build up.
I'm going to let it breathe a little.
Well, but when it drops, I think you're really going to be impressed.
Okay.
There we go. Turn this up, Sean. A little different.
It is different.
Yeah! I want to go get convicted of brigandage! Alright, turn that down now, John. All right, Cakes, what do you think of that?
All right, is this Windrose?
Yeah, it is Windrose. Okay. How did you know?
Well, this is what we previewed one of their other tunes yesterday during Dukes versus the World.
This is a different song.
This is a different tune from their catalog. Shockingly, I was able to identify them.
I can't believe you remember the name of the band.
I did. I did my due diligence. I'm going to give that a 3.75
there
kick
it
batters.
Is. You called your shot.
I did call my shot. It's a little aggressive for Flakes, who's getting to close to 50
right.
in a few weeks. I think if you like them, you should go into the Wayback Machine, Chad,
right,
and
right.
sample like a power metal band from the 80s, like a Man of War. A band that didn't really hit a lot of commercial success, but they're very, like, you know, these guys would come out in like loincloths and very aggressive music. And, you know, that's the sort of vibe I'm getting from this.
But, Cakes, they didn't record dwarf metal, which is what Wind Rose is. This song is called Drunken Dwarfs.
Drunken Dwarfs?
Okay. Yeah.
I did not know that dwarf metal was a subgenre in heavy metal, but I've learned this in the last 48 hours.
Well, what I've learned is there is a subgenre called folk metal.
Okay.
And that encompasses Viking metal, pirate metal, dwarf metal. There's all kinds of different subgenres.
Yes.
And I like them very much. I mean, these guys, honestly, I believe think they live in a mountain in Middle Earth. So.
Right.
Now, AB would hate them, but I think Danny might like them. So, I don't know. They're my new guys. Now you heard two of their tracks.
They're not actually little people, are they?
They just
make music that little people would jump in the mosh pit to.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I think they carry around, like, big oversized hammers, you know,
okay.
some of the stuff that you see in those movies.
Yes, of course.
I'm surprised. I thought you'd be more of a Wind Rose mark. Too much for you, it sounds like.
It might take a few more listens. That's all. I think this is weird to say.
Sure.
I think as I'm getting a little bit older, I'm kind of veering away from metal so much, and I'm becoming more of like a pop punk guy than a metal guy.
That's weird too because
like pop punk is usually for like 15-year-old angsty teenagers.
Right.
Not guys like me.
Yeah, but I think it's even worse, Cakes, because I think the reason why you're in the pop punk is because pop punk was big when you were hosting at HFS, and I think you're in your late 30s then or whatever it was.
Yeah, maybe I've just stalled. Like, I haven't.
You missed it already. This is the second time around that you have whiffed on pop punk.
Yes.
It's bizarre to me that it continues on, but I see the tweets back and forth between you and Shaky Knee. They always disgust me.
You hate that relationship.
It's nothing but pop punk.
So many
right.
Blink 182 and 4 Year Strong and Story So Far tweets. Oh, I got to reconnect with my man Shaky Knee.
Right,
I believe he just got engaged, by the way. Congrats to him.
Oh, he did. Absolutely. It's whatever personality, it's over with. It's just whatever she wants all the time. God bless him. Lena says, I have a long, pointless 3-hour drive this morning, but at least I have you and Money Metal Cakes to listen
Ooh,
to.
Very it's good.
Nice.
Thank you.
David Slott says, Country Cakes sounds delicious.
Yes.
Certainly does. And Family Man said, love listening to the CNC Radio Factory this morning in Westmoreland, Virginia. It's another time for us to remind you, we are not the CNC Music Factory.
No.
No. They're the ones that did things that make you go, we're the CNC Radio Factory.
Yes. Was CNC Music Factory the song that went, bah, 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 bah,
that song stinks
on ice.
Yeah, they overplayed that one a little bit. Aaron tweeted us, try some Ailstorm. Yeah, we played Ailstorm on the show before. We're very familiar with Ailstorm. Napalm Records, Cakes. If you like the folk metal, they got nothing but Powerwolf and all these crazy metal bands that dress up like they're all different things.
Well, if you're going to name your record label after an explosive that makes your skin burn off, I'm going to guess that the music's kind of aggressive and pretty powerful.
That Wind Rose band is Italian. They do not sound Italian to me.
They do not.
No, literally from Norway or something.
Right.
All right. Well, let's do this. Do we need a break, Sean? I think we need a break here, don't we? All right, cool. Let's break. How disgusted with us already is Sean, by the way?
He's like, I never even knew that dwarf metal existed. I'm listening to country tunes. Oh, I mean, the music has been all over the place, but I kind of like that.
Yeah, I do too. All right, top of the hour, buddy. Speaking of rocking, Mr. Kenny Kidd is going to join us to talk fantasy at the bottom. It is the CNC Radio Factory. We will take you all the way until the 90s nooner.
Mr. Fookerton, here's reason number 1,549 that my wife will outlive me.
All right.
For breakfast today, your pal Flakes over here had two eggs, two slices of wheat toast, cholesterol just all over the plate. I have high cholesterol that I'm battling. Take pills for it. My wife has, for her breakfast, she has an apple with a little bit of peanut butter spread over the apple. And I'm also guzzling coffee and Diet Coke, and it's not even 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So who do you think is going to live longer?
I had a big bowl of spaghetti.
For breakfast?
Yeah, my wife ate a bunch of spaghetti on Thursday, and I was like, well, I don't want to prepare anything, so I just ate whatever was left of that.
Beautiful.
It was tremendous.
That's fantastic.
And I've had three. We've been on the air for an hour and 50 minutes.
Yes.
I've had three Coke Zeros and a vat of coffee, just a giant vat.
I mean, I'm not kidding. Every single day I do the junk show.
Yeah.
The first thing that I do when I stumble down out of my bedroom and walk down to my kitchen, is I fire up a pot of coffee.
Right.
And I fill that thing all the way to the top. And then by 9:50, that thing is bone dry, and
all
it's doing is just ravaging my ticker. It's not going to be good one day. It's just going to be the heart's going to say, you know what? You've been abusing me for far too long.
I've had enough.
And what are you doing? But getting back to the Coke Zeros, first, yes. I need to know. Cans, bottles. I heard your rant yesterday. Your anti-bottle rant. So I'm assuming these Coke Zeros came out of a 12-ounce can.
It cakes. I don't know what it is about COVID, but you know our types of people, like the diet soda people. The new toilet paper is 12-ounce cans of Coke Zero. I can't find them.
You know what?
Anywhere.
That's funny that you bring that up because, like, 2 weeks ago. My wife said, if you go to the store and you see Coke Zero, like 12 packs, just buy them up.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I was like, there's like a Coke Zero shortage. And that's the thing, because now I see a Diet Coke 12 pack and Coke Zero is so much better than Diet Coke.
Why does Diet Coke still exist?
Here's why. Because when there are Coke Zero shortages, they can get rid of all the Diet Coke. I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
Nobody on the planet goes in and says, I'd rather have a Diet Coke than a Coke Zero.
You know two people on the planet that do that we both know, and they have a screw loose? Drab T-shirt and J.P. Finley both prefer Diet Coke to Coke Zero.
This
like
is madness.
They like to clonk both of their heads together.
this is full-on madness. They should be sent to Cuba and never allowed to return.
That's a good place for them, Cuba. Yes. I want them in a gulag by the end of this episode.
Yes.
Now, Cakes, I need you to go to your Twitter because I just sent you a tweet.
All right.
So
I
here's
can do
how
that.
Here's how they got me. Do you ever do the Instacart bit?
I have not done Instacart, no.
So my wife doesn't mind going to the grocery store. I've gone to the grocery store. But we try to limit, you know, the amount of time that we're out. Just
of course.
I just feel like we all should be trying to do that.
Right.
So Instacart is a service for like $10. They'll go and they'll pick out stuff and they'll put it in a bag and they'll put it out in front of your house.
Yep.
So I put four 12 packs of Coke Zero, right? Because on the website, it featured it on the inventory at the GD Safeway down the street from my house.
Yes.
The woman goes there. And the way that it works is if they have to replace an item, you get a push notification that says, hey, is it okay if we replace, you know, your cherry bubbly water with lime bubbly water?
And yeah.
You click yes or no. She goes, I'm replacing your 12 packs of cans with 8 packs of 12-ounce plastic bottles. Okay? And I'm like, all right,
yep.
That's not ideal. I don't like plastic bottles. They're wasteful.
Right.
They don't get cold enough. They never get cold enough.
Yeah. You always, like, grab it out of the cooler. You're like, Did they just put this in
here? Because it's 72 degrees. This soda that's been sitting. What is that about plastic bottles?
I don't know. But I'm with you on that.
But I'm so desperate, Kay, because I'm such an addict. I'm like, okay, whatever it is, however the modality of that gets this.
Just shoot it into my veins, however it gets there. Yeah.
I'll snort it. I'll take a suppository. Yes. I don't care. So it arrives, and it's, first of all, they're 8-packs, so they're, and there's 100 of them. I'm like, yeah. Oh, my God. I looked down at the bill. $24 more. $24 more for plastic bottles that I don't even want of Coke Zero.
Tilt City.
Oh.
All the tilt. Goes to Chad.
Monkey, that big white monkey from the Rock movie of stilts that I am.
The one that everybody compares Blue Shorts,
the albino gorilla. He does look like an albino gorilla, by the way. He knows that. We all know that.
It's pretty funny when you do the side-by-side. It does make me chuckle.
Oh, Cakes, you never know. And then they take up so much room because they're not in those rectangular boxes, and I'm just dealing with them all week.
Oh, and by the way, When did soda become like as expensive as gasoline?
I don't know, if
you don't get a 12-pack on sale, like the hey, buy 3 for $10, you big stupid. It's like $8 for a 12-pack.
Dude, I want.
It's
I want,
so expensive now
because I think they know they got their claws into us, and we're not buying because we enjoy it anymore.
We're addicts, right?
Cakes. What about the deal where it's like buy 3 get 5 free, and then I've got 12 tons of stuff to unload from my house. Like I need to get a friend over to help. I need to get Big Rig over to help me load soda to my house.
But you can't not buy it because it's such a good deal.
Too good of a deal.
And then you and especially if you're in a shortage situation. You're loading up while all the other desperate poor bastards are roaming the earth looking for Coke Zero 12 packs.
And then Cakes, the Coke Zero Cherry Vanilla is the best diet soda I've ever had. And I guess they just decided, well, this one's delicious and everybody liked it. Let's make more Orange Coke Zero, which tastes like stomach acid. Oh, they torture me. Every day they text me.
Chad, please tell me you've never made the mistake. This is one of the worst mistakes you could ever make, is mistakenly buying a caffeine-free 12-pack of Coke Zero. That's like a little bit different shade of red.
It's brownish.
Or like they bronze it, and if you're not really paying attention, you'll grab it, and then you'll get it home, and it's like a scene from The Exorcist when you realize that you now are the owner of 12 worthless sodas.
And also, caffeine has a flavor, because if you taste one of those caffeine-free ones, because my wife tries to get me those too, like to mix it up because I drink too much caffeine.
Right.
But it doesn't taste like anything. It almost tastes just like chemical bubbly water. I don't know what the caffeine does. And how about this, Cakes? I don't know if you ever had this happen. I've gone in and grabbed a jar of pickles and put it into my cart?
Yes.
And then I get home and I'm like, oh, I got a whole big jar of pickles here. And I open it up, and it says bread and butter on the front. And I thought it was new. Oh, God. I have fired so many jars of pickles just straight into the garbage when that happens. Oh, it's the bane of my existence.
You should take them out and throw them on the street. And just pickles, bread and butter chips everywhere.
I went to this place, and they made a Cuban sandwich. And they're like, oh, yeah, we put mayo and bread and butter pickles on a Cuban sandwich. Like, that's not a Cuban sandwich. Oh, it drives me nuts. All right, Jason says, spaghetti in the morning, you're my guy. I had baked ziti this morning. See?
You guys are heroes. Pasta in the morning. I love it.
Maybe if we ever did a morning show, Cakes, like, you know, the station flips format, we can pitch a show like in Tulsa or something called Pasta in the Morning.
I love it. We would eat garlic bread every single morning.
Oh, man. There is nothing. You know what?
Not garlic bread every morning. Garlic knots at least once or twice a week.
Is there anything that is a better batting average than garlic knots? Have you ever had a bad garlic knot?
Never. Never. They're nice and hot with just that little sheen of oil and some Parmesan on top. Oh, it's so good.
Dip them in a little marinara.
It's delicious. Oh, my God. It's delicious, Chad.
Buttered mozzarella on top. I love it so much. All right, well, Jesus, we're already 2 hours in the books. All right, well, let's break because Kenny Kidd's coming on with us next. And we're gonna hit him up and tell him we're taking over his show tonight.
Yes, we are.
That is Johnny Cakes Allville. I am Chad Dukes. You're listening to the CNC Radio Factory.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.